Hello and welcome to the Majlis, the weekly podcast by Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty, focusing on Central Asia. I am Mohammed Tahir, Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty's media manager for South and Central Asia here in Washington, D.C. So there are so many rumors in Kyrgyzstan these days, and the latest of which is that the former and the first president of independent Kyrgyzstan, Askar Akayev, might be returning to the country after 15 years in exile very soon. It's uncertain as to when that happens and what awaits for him once he comes back, but it's already a hot topic in Kyrgyzstan where people are expressing strong opinions both in favor and against the motion. Today, we are here to discuss the possibility and implications of Akayev's return to Kyrgyzstan, what does this might mean for the country and for the Kyrgyz politics going forward if indeed he returns. To discuss all these, I'm joined by two former Kyrgyz ambassadors who have known Akayev very closely. Ambassador Zamira Sadikova, Kyrgyzstan's former ambassador to the United States. She is currently editor-in-chief of Respublika newspaper. Also, we are joined by Ambassador Bakit Vashimov, former Kyrgyz ambassador to OSCE and member of the parliament, currently a lecturer at the Northeastern College of Professional Studies in Boston. And Bruce Panier, a seasoned journalist and editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog, Kishlok Owozi, is also with us. Colleagues, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting us.
Very, very nice to have you. So let's start, Bakit, with you. Is he really coming back, Akayev?
It's uncertain. Probably they're testing the ground and trying to understand how the people of Kyrgyzstan can react to their possible arrival to Kyrgyzstan.
Zamira, what's your thought on that, on the possibility of his return? And also, why is this news spreading at this time?
Akayev cannot come to the country. First of all, for the very formal reasons. After he left the country in 2005, a lot of criminal procedures has been instituted against him and the members of his family. He should attend the interrogation if he will be invited to the prosecutor office or some other agencies. As you know, immunity was removed from him. The second question is very materialistic. Does he intend to settle in his old apartment or he has another property? As far as I know, no. But Kyrgyz people can ask him, okay, what money he lived on beautifully in Moscow since 2005? His daughter lives in Switzerland. It is money of Kyrgyz people. You know that one of the big issues was, you know, about the gold, which began to be developed at Kumtor at his period of ruling the country. And there was, you know, gold scandal, which is still, you know, shaking the governments about what was going on and how much gold has been stolen or shares of Kumtor Company or Kumtor Gold or Centera, I don't know. What sorts, a lot of, you know, changes happened in agreements between Canadian investors and Kyrgyz government. And of course, we can't, you know, forget, and we have to put it front, that political and economic corruption has been plunged the country into a state from which we still cannot get out. And all of this, it is his innovations.
Let me push you a little bit back on that. I mean, if he was criminal, as you say, there are so many cases against him. So why none of the Kyrgyz authorities have tried to bring him back from Russia? I mean, they could certainly talk to.
It is great question. It is my question was, you know, since 2010 when, you know, Bakiyev came to the power. Many times I asked President Bakiyev, repeated these questions in my publications. Why? Because they met with President Putin and they had, you know, a lot of agreements and talkings on closed doors. Why? They didn't raise the question, not to deport, but maybe to allow or maybe to help to interrogate him in Moscow, at least.
So why didn't they do it?
But you understand why? Because they didn't want, you know, to break some close relations with President Putin. And maybe it was some sort of, you know, agreement.
So you were saying that Putin was protecting him there?
Yeah.
Okay.
He protected at the beginning when he got him in his this air base in Kant, in Kyrgyzstan, Russian air base in Kant.
Yeah. I was planning to come on this topic a little bit later, but since we started, Bakit, let me take your point on this. I mean, as Amira is saying that, he cannot come back because there are so many criminal cases opened against him. So what's your thought on that aspect?
It's difficult to say about his possible arrival because many things are uncertain. Returning to your second part of your question regarding criminal cases against Akayev. There are, in my opinion, two domestic obstacles and one external. Two domestic, the first one, it is unbelievable incompetence of law enforcement agencies in Kyrgyzstan from the times of Akayev and until now. Because during these 28 years and after departure of Akayev, the successors did nothing in order to bring him to justice. Number two, in Kyrgyzstan, actually, we are seeing under the roof of the label the fight against corruption. It is the struggle of one Tiveri clan against another Tiveri clan. Therefore, one corrupt regime after the coup, which they, in popular perception, names revolutions, one corrupt regime replaces another corrupt regime, and nothing has changed for better. And external, it's a protection of Putin, because Kyrgyz authorities, after his departure to Russia, they are just try to do something, but understanding that Putin provides a roof, Akayev, they decided not to go further. That's in my opinion.
Yeah, I know, Bruce, you will have lots of your own points on that. I promise I will get back to this topic about the issue of the criminality. But in the light of what Zamira and Bakit has just said, so what does the timing of this rumors tell you? We don't know yet whether he will come back or not, but again, the rumors is there. What does the timing tell you about this?
Well, I mean, it was kind of curious. His daughter, Beremet, is apparently able to come and go from Kyrgyzstan. She can go there for short times and even go back to their home region of Kemin. And so she's obviously the one that's acting as the go-between, if Askar Akayev can actually return to Kyrgyzstan or not. You know, I don't know why it came up all of a sudden. I know she was just there, for instance, and then the rumor surfaced that maybe he was thinking of coming. And even the prosecutor general's office released a statement about what would happen, what their opinion was of him coming back. You know, I think some of it has to do with the fact that news about leaders from Kyrgyzstan has been pretty grim lately. Bakiyev always seems to make some, almost every month, there's something about how he's living in Belarus and going to parties that, you know, he's organized, and even meeting with Belarus President Lukashenko. And, you know, it grates on people in Kyrgyzstan to see that he's still able to do that. And, of course, we know that former President Atambayev has a number of legal problems at the moment and is in detention in Kyrgyzstan. So I kind of wonder if someone hasn't floated the idea that, you know, it looks bad that we have three former presidents, that one's in jail in Kyrgyzstan and two are outside the country facing charges. And of the three of them, possibly Askar Akayev is committed the least amount of crimes between the three of them. And for the image of the country, it might be worth considering whether or not we can work something out where he can make some kind of restitution or compensation, and we can bring him back to the country. Because, you know, in the end of the day, I mean, every time someone asks me, for instance, describe the situation in Central Asia, there's always this caveat of it's like this except in Kyrgyzstan, and it's like this except in Kyrgyzstan, which is notably better than the other countries. And you know, although Akayev obviously has committed crimes, and I noticed Zamira was very diplomatic in not mentioning her own personal situations back in the mid-1990s with Askar Akayev, you still have to give Akayev some credit for starting Kyrgyzstan on a much different direction than the other countries in Central Asia started off on. And the reason Kyrgyzstan does have a more independent media and have more vibrant political culture is in great credit to Askar Akayev in his early years, when he did set the country on that path. You know, he changed later. He became a much different leader after 5 or 6 years, and then until the time that he got run out in the revolution. But, you know, at least you can make the case that he started out by trying to do some of the right things for the country, whereas the other presidents that are now facing charges seem to have come in and immediately abuse their power as fast, mm-hmm. you know, as quickly as they could.
Mm. Zamira, so because of the reasons that Bruce just mentioned, don't he deserve a little bit of better treatment?
No, I would like, you know, to return to your question. May I just change the question? It was about why this possibility for Akayev to return to the country is raised at this time. I think that it has happened because, you know, you see how failed Atambayev, yeah? Mm. And what's happened with Atambayev. Mm. And in comparison with Atambayev, you know, in society, especially in rural some areas, Kyrgyz people, you know, saying that Akayev and Bakiyev, they've been much more better than Atambayev. They raised the point that maybe it not will be good, but it will be possible to come back to the country and Bakiyev and Akayev if they will repent it. If Akayev, for example, repents, he can be forgiven and allowed to live in Kyrgyzstan. But I'm not sure because listening his interviews, for me, he doesn't look like that he feels guilty. Mm. Again, about his criminal procedures, you know, all of us, we should be equal before the law. You know, even he repented or not, he must answer to the questions. And my some main point, you know, a country should have history lessons. Otherwise, we will not defeat, you know, this ugly, absolutely ugly system, which is related to Akayev, which has been built by Akayev.
On the same point, Zamira, again, I'm putting forward a kind of counterpoint on what you are saying. Yeah, this man, this old man is returning by his own will to Kyrgyzstan, if he does, as far as I can understand, obviously for legitimate reasons that everybody has to be equal in front of the law. But at the same time, as we are talking about the persecution of this man, at the same time, there are so many other people in Kyrgyzstan who need to answer to lots of questions, lots of questions compared to Akayev. And they are walking around without any kind of persecution, without being in jail. So how we justify his persecution if he indeed returns?
If he will return, you know, it will be not the lesson for the history of Kyrgyzstan.
Right.
But it could be repeated again from another leader's book, as Bakit said, you know, that corruption is, you know, still going on in Kyrgyzstan.
Yeah, and I understand your sensitivity on the legal procedure that law has to be equally applied to everybody, but it is just not happening in Kyrgyzstan. There are so many other people, I'm saying, who might have committed more than what Akayev did, and they are walking around. And we are talking about the persecution of this man, the man who's trying to come back by his own will. And how you justify this?
I'm absolutely agree with you. Everybody, you know, has to be, before the law, you know, everybody is equal,
Bakit, what's your point in this?
Equality before the law never existed in Kyrgyzstan, and I doubt it will exist in the years to come. And let me to explain my point regarding of a possible return of Akayev. I see the two immediate reactions to his possible. The first, it will provoke the anger of the masses who will demand from the authorities to bring him to justice.
Right.
And the second one, it can create a huge discomfort for the current leadership of Kyrgyzstan.
Why is that?
Because he is the godfather of Kyrgyz corruption.
Mm-hmm.
As a first president, he came to power after the popular support created such unimaginable hopes, but cynically and disgracefully sacrificed that hopes and good expectations in the narrow interests of his family. Mm. And after that, I am inclined to put more blame on him, seeing no principal difference between him and his successors, including the last one, Atambayev. Why? Because Akayev has been determined the wrong course of the country for decades to come by his erroneous ideology and greed, watered down by a policy of the World Bank and IMF. His ideology is based on social Darwinism because he systematically promoted the views that certain people become powerful in society because they are innately better. Therefore, he created his fake genealogy, trying to convince the public that he is descendant of a medieval Kyrgyz Khan and legitimize his anti-constitutional deeds. That's why he worked hard to make his daughter and son the leaders of a nation. The lucrative part of a former state property was grabbed by his flunkies, whom he used to call privately a new nobility. That's why he is the man who just screw up everything and spoil the situation in the country. His former prime minister, Bakiev, who succeeded him and inherited Akayev's policy of family rule, enjoys luxury life in Belarus. Akayev brought to power and promoted this kind of people.
Okay. You know, I don't like to sound like to be defending Akayev in any way. I was just trying to put all these discussion in context. Bruce, if there's anything you would like to say in response to what Bakiev said and earlier Zamira said, otherwise we will move on from the criminality to the other aspects.
Just quickly, that, you know, obviously he should answer for the law, but, you know, he could make a grand gesture to begin with by, you know, he is pretty much an exile in Moscow. If he would start out by, one, returning the money, you know, I mean, there's at least $3 million that he's on the hook for, and convince his family members, too, because you got to remember that part of the, I think one of the big problems here is, if it was just Oskar Akayev, that would be one thing, but his wife and her and her charity foundation are part of the problem, and his son, Idar, is another problem out there. But if he started out by saying, I'm returning all this stuff, and issued, you know, a formal public apology that I made mistakes, I committed crimes, I do apologize, you know, and kind of that, but I'm an old man, and what I really want is to just live my last few years in my native region, and I won't engage in politics. You know, at least it would go a long ways toward being an apology. For the, and maybe some people would accept it, and maybe most people wouldn't, I don't know. But it would certainly be good for, you know, for Kyrgyzstan if they could kind of start to heal these wounds. And, you know, he is pretty much harmless at this point. And I think what most people want is just, you know, the return of all the things that he managed to get out of the country, the money, whatever, you know, and some real contrition, some genuine sorrow and about what he had done in the past. You know, I mean, the Kyrgyz people are good people. And I think, you know, they would have some sympathy for an old man. Who was just wanted to come back and live the last few years of his life in his homeland. And it would be good for the country's image, too. Hopefully, you know, I mean, Bakiev took a lot of money out, too. It could be an example of, you know, if you're willing to come and go to trial and even be convicted, you know, and hopefully the court would say, but we'll take these things into consideration, you know, and so we're going to put you essentially under house arrest in your home region, you know, that maybe someone like Bakiev might rethink his stance later in the future and put back some of the money that he took from Kyrgyzstan, which would help out.
Mohammed, I will agree with Bruce, but in his latest interviews, Akayev didn't express any intention to apologize. Any idea of acknowledging his mistakes. Instead of that, he continues to brainwash the populace, promotes conspiracy theories, and with no evidence, just creates illusions about the speedy development of Kyrgyzstan. No, that's why. Yes, Kyrgyz people respects age, respects the right of a people to live in their homeland. But Kyrgyz people expects also very honest attitude to their interests and rights. But Akayev didn't do that. And after that, he just thinks and expressed right there that he just concerned by the poverty in the country, by the recent situation, and continues to say about the possible rapid development of Kyrgyzstan and so on. But what about him and his policy?
During 15 years.
Yeah, okay.
And after that, all his successors, all his successors continue his course, actually. And that's why there are no principle difference between them.
Thank you, Baki. So we yet to see how this rumors really turns out. But the question is, then why he is thinking of returning to Kyrgyzstan? What his return could mean for the country? I will kick off the second part of the discussion with that question. Let let me first recap the debate that today on the Majlis Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty Central Asia podcast. I'm joined by two former Kyrgyz ambassadors, Samira Sadikova, former Kyrgyz ambassador to the United States, currently editor-in-chief of Respublika newspaper, Bakit Bashimov, former Kyrgyz ambassador to OSCE and currently a lecturer at the Northeastern College of Professional Studies in Boston, Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty Central Asia blog, Kishlok Owazi. I am Mohamed Tahir, Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty's media manager for South and Central Asia here in Washington, D.C., and we are discussing the possible return of Kyrgyzstan as first president after independence, Askar Akayev, and its possible implications to the country. So let me begin with that question. In the face of all the issues that you are putting forward, both Zamira and Bakit, then why he wants to come back to Kyrgyzstan?
I guess that it is just like, you know, test. He's testing the society, the new government, president, what they're thinking about possibility of his return. He understands it is insecure, absolutely. He can't, you know, to guard himself and living in Kyrgyzstan, wherever it would be. It is test.
So did he? Yeah, Bakit, just briefly.
If we closely analyze his latest interviews, yeah, read his articles and the books, we can find that he lives in his own virtual world.
Okay.
Based on intentionally created narratives, that's actually, after the close examination, we can say that they are mostly illusions. And that's why...
Can you open up that illusional world? How does it look like?
You know, he thinks that being supported by the few of his supporters, that the people of Kyrgyzstan, after terrible rule of Bakiyev and the horrible policy of Atambayev, people can change their perceptions about him. That's why this kind of a wrong comparison. But I didn't find any serious evidence to believe that the people of Kyrgyzstan changing their opinion about Akayev in a positive way. I have more evidence to believe that people mostly hate him, and they have serious reason for that hatred.
You know, I have not read the interviews that both of you are referring to, and you guys did. So based on that interview, or maybe based on things that he said earlier, maybe things that he published earlier, what's your sense?
Is he thinking
of playing a role of some sort in the public space in Kyrgyzstan if he goes back indeed?
I give you two examples from his latest interviews. First, explaining the coup in 2005, he explains using two main narratives. First, that he was overthrown by the drag barons of Kyrgyzstan. But question is, who, why, being as a president during 15 years, he did nothing in order just limit this drug trafficking through the Kyrgyzstan. Instead of it, we have more evidence to say that his family and his close associates were involved in this drug trafficking. The second thing, he thinks that it was coup backed by the United States, and he mentions widely the former ambassador of the United States to Kyrgyzstan, Stephen Young. But he is a scientist. He must operate and support his assumptions with evidence, but he did not provide any serious, credible evidence of that. That's why I'm thinking that he lives in his own virtual world and would like to impose this world to people of Kyrgyzstan.
That's his virtual world, as you say, Bakit. Let me put this question in a different way. Bruce, also feel free to jump in. So who benefits from this discussion? I also kind of want to put finger on Moscow on this. Is there any possible Russian link to this discussion, given that you guys said that he was protected by Putin, given that recently Putin was very much present in the domestic political discussion in Kyrgyzstan because of the meeting that he had with Atambayev and then what he said following that meeting? Bruce, if you like, feel free to jump in. Any thoughts on the Russian link about this this rumor?
Well, that's an interesting comment that you made, Mr. Tahir. I mean, it is something that, you know, Atambayev made that trip and Putin came out and spoke by himself and kind of told all the politicians, Jan Bekov and everyone, that they should just stop all these problems, that it wasn't going to help Kyrgyzstan at all. Who knows? Maybe Russia's got to the point where they're just getting tired of being involved in the internal political wars of Kyrgyzstan, and he decided that maybe he doesn't want a Kyiv there either, because they don't want to be involved with this anymore, which would be strange because we know that the Kremlin is always involved in this stuff. But I suppose it could be a face-saving measure for Russia to try to show that maybe they're not. But, you know, again, I think at the end that maybe this whole idea, Akayev is 75, and I think he just wants to go home. You know, when his brother died many years ago, and he couldn't go back because he was out, and I am listening to Bakit and Zamira, and I agree that there has to be genuine repentance here. The first step toward his return is that I made a lot of mistakes, and I am sorry. And I understand now that many things I did were criminal, not right. You know, we've been talking about the people that he's helped out in Kyrgyzstan and how they also committed crimes. But really, this is the Central Asia paradigm in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. The leadership of any Central Asian country has their own elites who profit greatly off, you know, off the being their connections with the leader of the country. So this is not unique to Kyrgyzstan. But we really need, I think, for Akayev, when he has to wake up and understand that he's there's a lot of blame that is on his shoulders. He's not going to get around that by trying to say that I was someone, it was a campaign against me, I never did anything wrong. That's not the way to go at this at all. People want to see, you know, genuine sorrow and an admission that many, many mistakes were made. And like I said, compensation, restitution, you know, before they're going to allow someone to just come back. I imagine at 75 years old, he's thinking that he would like to be buried in his own country. Who knows how much longer he would live, but I think that's probably some of the motivation for this. But again, he has to, his way of getting back into the country has to be much different than the comments that he's making now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, other than what Bruce just said, and also earlier Bakit's comment on Akayev's illusional world, Zamira, do you see any Russian connection into all these discussions about the possibility of his return, given the issues that I mentioned earlier in terms of Putin's meeting with the Tambayev and his comment following that meeting, and also the fact that you mentioned that Akayev was protected by Putin so far?
And it may be, you know, just if Mr. Putin tired from our Kyrgyz presidents who, you know, pledged the corruption, you know, do a lot of wrong things, and, you know, going to Russia, you know, asking some help, support, and maybe Putin said, okay, guys, leave my country, go to your home, and do whatever you want.
There was no kind of comment from Russian authorities about this discussion, right, so far? I have not seen, at least.
Actually, we don't have any evidence to believe that Russian leadership today pays serious attention to Akayev and his possible return to Kyrgyzstan. It seems to me this kind of narrative promoted by him and by his family. But Bruce expressed a very, very important point about genuine excuse and so on.
Right.
If it will happen, if Akayev will do that, I can say that a lot of people in Kyrgyzstan turn indifferently to him and sluggishly react to his arrival in Kyrgyzstan.
Is there any reason you believe so?
Yes, because, you know, nation has experienced a lot of things after Akayev. Understanding his role in this situation, very difficult and unlikely situation, and after the role of Atambayev and the current difficult situation, and after Bakiev, of course, a lot of people, if Akayev genuinely just ask excuse and explain his mistakes, a lot of people, I think, will say, okay, that's happened, it's happened, and we look at different, neither support him nor provide any assistance to express hatred toward to him.
Okay, let's see if that happens. Zamir, also, just to bring this discussion into the domestic politics, his return is kind of coinciding with Babanov's return. But of course, I'm not putting Babanov in that position, but he was also in exile for a while after the election. And also, it coincides with Atambayev's detention and the possibility of Tekabayev being, you know, let go if he's not already out. So do you see any parallel between discussion about his possible return and some of those domestic developments?
I don't know, really. I don't know anything about, you know, what's new government thinking about Akayev's return, but Babanov's and Tikibayev's return to the policy, to the country, it is might be, yeah, it was has been allowed, you know, how to say it, it was decision, you know, to give them the chance to come back to the society and to express themselves, you know, what they want, what they going to do in future.
Okay. Bakit, briefly, your point on this? Is there any parallel do you
Mohammed, yeah. By the way, you raise very important, critical question, saying about Babanov and so on. I would like to explain. First, Atambayev in jail.
Right.
Atambayev, ex-president, hero of a nation.
Some people say,
The man who promoted the current president to power and supported him using administrative resources. Secondly, the head of the election camp of a current president, Farid Niyazov, in jail.
Yeah, Atambayev is former chief of staff, right.
Chief of staff, but a head of election camp of current president.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, his deputy in prison, the ex-mayor of Bishkek city, plays a critical role in outcomes of election in Kyrgyzstan in prison.
Right.
And that's why today people asking this question, Babanov, the main candidate, now under investigation.
Right.
And that's why the question is very natural. What kind of election was in 2016? And if current president openly during his speech in a parliament name all these people, organized criminal mafia, and we can make the logical conclusions that this mafia brought to power the current president. And it's a very legitimate question about presidential election in 2016.
Right. We earlier in our discussion, we had the Edil Baysalov, who is now the ambassador of Kyrgyzstan in London. He would definitely have a different version of how the current president and regime is elected. Obviously, he's part of the government. So there are numerous ways to look into this, Bakit. Definitely, I take your point. Just to conclude the discussion, because we are already way over time, is there anything that we missed? I'm still student about the complex political system of Kyrgyzstan. Bruce, anything that we missed? Anything we should have touched before I wrap up the discussion?
You know, the only thing I could say, add to what's already been said, is this was the first public kind of casting this out on the water, you know, about Akayev's possible return. I'm certain it won't be the last. You know, but really, as they say in America, the ball is in Akayev's court. He has to change tack if he really wants to come home. But this, I doubt this is going to be the last that we've heard of it. You know, I won't comment on Tekibayev and Babanov, except to say that Kyrgyz politics, which are always very interesting to begin with, are about to become even more interesting in the coming weeks and months. You know, definitely keep your eye on. Don't take your eye off Kyrgyzstan, because if you blink, you'll miss something important.
You are very right on that. Just a very final question. And in case, imagine if he returns, is he still relevant in the political life of Kyrgyzstan at all, Zamira?
He's doing a lot of interviews, you know, and maybe he would be happy
to do it. But do you imagine he's playing some role if he returns?
No. Okay. Of course not. Okay. But, you know, now it doesn't need, you know, some special power to rule. You can be just very active in social network, in media, and it some sort of, you know, ruling.
So let's wait and see and what happens. Also, just a very final question that, you know, I have seen the prosecutor general's comment in response to all these rumors that, you know, if Akayev comes back and he will answer lots of questions. Have you guys seen any other comment other than that by the authorities on this discussion? Any idea how Zhinbekov regards this man?
I'm not sure. You remember a few days ago when Tikibayev has been released from the jail, his comments about President Zhinbekov. And he said that Zhinbekov made a great thing. He made precedent when the former presidents, the people on the top of the power can be judged, can be prosecuted, can be put in jail even.
Okay, terrific. So let's wait and see where these discussion leads us. And thank you, Zamira Sadikova, for your insight, former Kyrgyz ambassador to USA. Big thanks goes to Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog, Kishlok Owazi. And Bakit Bashimov, also former Kyrgyz ambassador to OSCE and currently lecturer at the Northeastern College of Professional Studies in Boston. Thank you, colleagues, for your time and thoughts today.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Muhammad.
Thank you very much. So this is from me, Muhammad Tahir, host of the Majlis podcast. Until next week. Bye-bye.